What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as usual by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, and at DH82 underscore Bucks. Getting ready to preview the Falcons and Bucks week six matchup, and we are very excited to have one of our favorite guests. Now, I believe he holds the record for most appearances on the show, from Buccaneers.com, the senior writer and editor, the one, the only, Scott Smith. Scott, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. Do I get anything for that, for being number one? Is there some kind of prize?
I will give you a high five in Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, just don't give me any chili, and we're cool.
You know what? That's fine. Fair.
Yep, there we go. We're set. We're even.
David still has to try it whenever he comes to visit, but you, sir, are off the hook.
Cool. Well, fortunately for me, I've had 18 years of my stomach being built up for resistance to foreign objects. So I'm good.
Yeah, I was going through one of those crazy, like, Facebook, you know, top whatever lists, and somebody had gone through and they listed the worst regional food in every state. And for Ohio, it was Cincinnati chili. And obviously, Scott, for Missouri, yeah, it was St. Louis pizza.
I know. I get it.
We're in that boat together.
Yeah. So there's not a Skyline Chili MRE, David?
There is a Chili Mac MRE, and there is some other chili-like substance MREs, and everybody avoids them like the plague. So
what's the gold standard of the MREs? What's the one everybody goes for?
Oh man. So my favorite is actually chicken and salsa.
Okay.
They've gotten better. They've gotten quite better over the last, you know, almost two decades. I will say that. And my dad was in the Army for a long time. And I remember he would come back from the field and bring us like the old MREs that were in the dark brown bags. And the only thing I remember ever eating was the dehydrated fruit, which came in a wafer, and you'd take a bite out of it, and like all the moisture in your body would just immediately leave into that bite. So
sounds great.
It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah,
it's pretty good stuff.
That sounds way worse than Skyline chili. I mean,
nah, it's all right. You'd be used to it.
All right. Well, to get on to some Buccaneers talk, Scott, there's kind of, you know, there's the overall defeat, I think, of Buccaneers fans right now after such a hot start, and then following that up with two consecutive losses. The bye week, despite being early, I think kind of came at the perfect time, just because it gives them an opportunity to regroup. You had Winston come back. Some of the guys were injured and they were missing time, and it gave them a chance to heal. And one of the kind of positives that we've seen so far this week has been the injury report. We saw that OJ Howard was practicing. It was in a limited capacity, but he was practicing with that MCL sprain. You see that Bo Allen has returned to practice. Carlton Davis has returned to practice. Jordan Whitehead. Some of these, you know, these key pieces, you know, especially on the defensive side, have started to return. So we have the potential of seeing Bo Allen and Vita Vea along that defensive line rotation for the first time this season. What's kind of the attitude and the atmosphere around one Buck right now, coming off an absolutely brutal loss and then heading into a divisional matchup on the road, but starting to see some of these pieces come back? I mean, is there a sense of confidence that, you know what, it was 1 week, let it go, and we're right back on track?
Yeah, and to address the injury report, I mean, all 53 guys are practicing. Yeah, I know some of them are limited, but take a picture, because that's as good as it's going to be all year. You know, mm-hmm. Which is not uncommon after a bye week, obviously, but this doesn't happen very often, so that's a good thing. And I don't think anybody was really expecting OJ to be practicing this week. So he's a young, freakishly, I don't know, limber guy or whatever, because to have him back is, I mean, I can tell you, we were standing out there, you get the first 30 minutes of practice to watch with the media, and I could watch more, but I wouldn't be able to report on it. So basically all I can, you know, there's no point in staying out there. So we all were looking for the Carlton Davises and the Bo Allens. We found them quickly, and we were just assuming that OJ was out. And I kind of glanced over at the tight ends and their position drills, and I thought I saw a zero. I'm like, and plus he's kind of an easy guy to pick out because he's just so huge and cut. And I'm like, is that an OJ? And I waited for him to go through again to be sure before I started alerting people around. I'm like, guys, OJ Howard's practicing. I found that surprising. And, you know, it's kind of nice because generally during the week, you're seeing, ah, that guy's not back yet. And it's a little bit demoralizing. So to have kind of a little pick me up, around noon on a Wednesday was kind of nice. As for the atmosphere around the building, you know, I know what you said about that game, and it was terrible, obviously. But you got to understand that even though it sounds like a line, when these guys say, hey, it's one game out of 16 or it's one game, they really do mean it. I mean, you know, if it proves to be that the Buccaneers aren't very good and that Chicago game was an indication of it, then so be it. But that's certainly not the way they think. I can tell you right now, they don't think that at all. There's no problem with confidence within the building. I swear to you that's true. I'm not just being the inside guy trying to shoot rainbows up in the air. I'm serious. Everybody in the building believes that the Chicago game was a terrible effort by us and a horrible thing to happen for us to do. I don't mean it happened to us. We did it. But they don't believe it's defining. They don't believe it's predictive of what's going to happen next. I swear to you that's true. You can choose to believe it or not, but I swear it's true.
Oh, I definitely believe it. I mean, I think if you're going to be a professional football player, be an NFL franchise, you can't live in your wins and you can't sit on your losses. I mean, you got to be able to move on. And I think kind of like what James alluded to, that bye week coming right after. I mean, in some ways, I think I've heard you allude to that as well, whether it be yesterday on the Pewtercast or on the Salty Dogs. Can't remember which one. You talked about it, you know, in some ways, you know, those guys would rather not have had the bye week and get right back at it and get that taste out of their mouth. But in some ways, perhaps it's good to put some space between, you know, that hopefully, like you said, anomaly and the rest of the season. And that's the benefit of being in the NFL. It's not college football. You don't have to win pretty. And when you lose ugly, it counts just as much as any other loss. So,
yeah, I don't think our defense has been good at all. And a shocking statement there, right? But there's a difference between not being great, being okay for part of the New Orleans game, and then, you know, playing prevent and not doing so great. And actually, I thought they were actually decent in the Philadelphia game, had their moments in the Pittsburgh game. And then there's a difference between just being maybe not the best defense in the league and what happened in Chicago. I mean, what happened in Chicago was a complete and total meltdown. I mean, communication errors, guys running wide open, as bad as you can play, honestly, from top to bottom. It wouldn't bother me if Dirk Cutter or a player were to hear this, because they're all saying that. I'm just parroting what they're saying. I'm not calling anybody out, right? I mean, it was terrible. But there's a difference between struggling and having some issues and getting some young guys worked in and having a lot of new guys and kind of getting it, figuring it all out, and what happened in Chicago. And I think there's a tendency, and I think I'd probably be the exact same way if I were out of the building and just a fan of the Buccaneers. I probably would feel the same way. I'd feel so demoralized after the game. But I keep using the word, in terms of how bad it was, I think it's an anomaly. I don't think the Buccaneers defense has been good, and they can't be considered good until they produce better results. But I don't think they're going to do what they did in Chicago over and over again. I don't think that at all.
No, that was definitely, I mean, I've never seen, you know, you've been around the team a lot longer than I have, and a lot closer, obviously, than I have. And I think James too. And I've never seen the defense look so out of sorts. So, you know, in that sense, and I know you talked to Brent. Brent came on our show actually the other day, and we were kind of talking about that with the comment that Mike Smith made about it being an anomaly. And I kind of referenced that, you know, it's an anomaly in the sense of just how, you know, dysfunctional it really got out there that day. And it's just where once it gets spinning, it's kind of hard to get out of that rotation in the moment. So hopefully, you know, they took a lot of lessons from it, players and coaches alike. And, you know, they get the thing back on track and maximize their potential. But, We'll have to see what that is. But Scott, moving forward, I mean, that's what we're all trying to do. Getting Bo Allen back, I know he's not guaranteed to play or anything just yet, but even seeing him back on the practice field, Vita Vea was able to get his first action there against Chicago. We're kind of starting to get to the point where we can see this defensive line, hopefully as healthy as we're probably going to be able to see it this season. How big do you think it would be to have Bo Allen, Gerald McCoy, and Vita Vea all active at the same time, whether that happens this week or in the near future?
Yeah, I think it'd be a good thing, and definitely I agree that there's definitely no guarantee that Bo's going to play yet. It's a great first step that he's back on the field, but I don't think we're close to knowing if this is the week he comes back. But eventually, yes, you'll have that trio, and we forget Mitch Unrein because that was supposed to be like the foursome in there, and I don't know what's going to happen with that, but he's not going to be back for at least a couple more weeks. But Vita Vea and Bo Allen and Gerald McCoy, that trio in the rotation would be awesome. And I don't think the defensive line has been terrible. I think for the most of the season they've been competent with some good flashes, and then not a lot very good in the Chicago game. I do think there's the potential for this defensive line to be what makes the difference if you're trying to figure out how the Bucks go from where they are now to being at least a good enough defense that you can win based on how good the offense can be. And I think it has to start with that. And it's I think the potential is there. I really do. I mean, JPP has proved to be at least above average defensive end. Gerald McCoy is still playing well. Those guys are getting to the quarterback a decent amount of times. And then if you can get to the point where they can do what they wanted to do, which was not play those guys 90% of snaps and have a better rotation, have enough guys that you can bring in that you're always feeling like you have four effective guys on the field, then I think we can get to the point where the defensive line is effective, at least, upper echelon, maybe not the best defensive line in the league, but something that can make the difference,
All right. Well, Scott, moving forward to Sunday's game, we've asked this of our guests that we have on our Friday show, and your coworker Carmen, the first time that she did this, got all of hers right. It was
oh my goodness,
somewhat wow. Baffling.
That's a high bar.
Yeah, we are going to ask you to give us your bold prediction for Sunday's game between the Bucks and Falcons.
Bold prediction. So we're wide open here. It can be pretty much anything.
It can be whatever you want.
All right. Well, here's a bold prediction. I think Ronald Jones will make some kind of difference. Is that bold?
I'll take it.
Is that bold enough? Not bold enough?
Well, I like it, and I mean
you're correct. Considering he was inactive for 3 weeks, and then he had 10 carries for 29 yards in the Chicago game.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
Making a difference is that's a relatively bold,
like a touchdown, or 70 or 80 yards, something that gets the running game going, or a couple big catches out of the backfield. The Falcons defense has been almost historically bad against running backs out of the backfield so far this year. I mean, I think that has to do with the fact that they're in a division with Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey, but they've been giving up, look at the numbers, they've been giving up just enormous totals to opposing running backs in the passing game. Now, Ronald Jones hasn't proven at all that he can be an impact in the passing game yet, so I think if he were to make a couple big plays in the passing game, that would be bold. Seems kind of bold.
Yeah.
Am I bold? Yeah.
I you know what? It's bold enough for me. And I heard all something funny, and we know that fantasy stats don't always match up with true NFL outcomes, but there is a little bit of correlation there. And I've heard that this season, the Atlanta Falcons defense has allowed 20 or more fantasy points to every running back one that they faced this season. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Especially if it's a PPR league, because, Alvin Kamara, I think both Kamara and McCaffrey had 14 catches against them or something like that. Mm. Some just crazy number.
All right. Well, David, how about your bowl prediction, buddy?
So I want to see the defense get back on track, obviously, right? So my bold prediction is a turnover hat trick. I don't care how it comes, nice. but the defense can get three turnovers, three takeaways, actually. They're going to get three takeaways.
I think we win if that happens.
I agree. I would.
Because it's a shootout, right? And turnovers make the difference in a shootout.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, my bold prediction. All right, here we go. That the Falcons and Bucks offenses will combine for over 850 total yards.
I'm told that the over-under on this game is 57.
I think you're right. I think it's 57 and a half. Yeah, 57 and a half the last time I checked it, which was, I think that was Tuesday night. So, yeah, I mean, if there's going to be that many points put up, then they're going to have to get yards. So I'm going with 850 total yards of offense in this game.
You are talking about the two teams giving up the most points in the NFL, which and a lot of yards, too. It just feels to me like every time it looks so easy on paper like that, that somehow it doesn't end up actually happening that way.
Yeah, right. It'll end up a 13 to 10. You know, defensive
this is ridiculous.
All right. Well, the next prediction that we're going to ask of you, who are going to be your predictive offensive and defensive players of the game?
Okay. I think Mike Evans is going to have a big game. Mm-hmm. That's a beat up secondary, and just like Julio Jones on their side, we can do things with Mike Evans that are just almost impossible sometimes to cover if they're doing it right. You can play those guys down the sideline and they're afraid of the big play, and you throw a fade stop or you throw a quick button hook type of thing 20, 30 yards down the field. I could see him driving them crazy with plays like that. So I think Mike Evans gets over 100 yards and a touchdown. He's had some good games against Atlanta. So that's my pick for that. So I have to pick one on both sides, did you say? The obvious choice in Atlanta is always Quan Alexander. I like David talking about getting turnovers. Maybe, I'm going to go with Levante. He's had some good games up there, too. And I actually feel like Atlanta's going to try to get the running game going against us. So I'll go with Levante making some big tackles for losses. He's obviously going to have some kind of big play in there to be the defensive MVP. So maybe a takeaway. So I'll go with Levante, David.
All right. Well, David, how about you?
So I route on offense and say Jameis Winston. It's his first start of the season. So he's the quarterback, touches the ball on every snap. So, of course, he's going to be huge. But, I'm looking forward to seeing him back in the starting rotation. And I'm looking forward to see what he can do against a defense that, similar to Tampa's, hasn't exactly been doing the greatest, and due in large part to some key injuries as well on their side of the ball. So that's my offensive guy. I know it's easy. I don't know. That's fine. You can harass me about it if you want to. But and then on defense, so I was actually thinking earlier today I was going to go with Quan, but I talked about Quan on yesterday's episode, so I kind of feel like I've said my piece about Quan. So I'm going to go with Brent Grimes. There's some folks who have kind of like Scott, like we talked about fans being fans, right? Kind of talked about it, if he's really into it, if he's really going out there putting out full effort, or if he just kind of came back for the millions and millions of dollars that he's going to get paid this year. It's Atlanta. I don't know Brent, but I don't really get the vibe that he's really a grudge holder. So I don't know how much that really plays into it. But I don't know. I just kind of feel like with the tone that's going on towards him a little bit, a very little bit, in the fan area, that this could be a week he shows up and kind of redeems himself in the fan base's eyes.
All right. Well, you've sent me scrambling here, David, because Winston was going to be my offensive player of the game. You know what? With as beat up as the Falcons defense is, you know, obviously Mike Evans and Deshaun Jackson and Cameron Braid are going to be big pieces of the offense. But as Scott said, they're going to have to get the running game going. So I'm going with Peyton Barber. I think, I'm not saying he's going to explode for, you know, 100 yards, but I think he's going to be able to create some crucial first downs. And I think we see him get in the end zone at least once, maybe even twice in this game, and really take advantage of a porous Falcons defense. So Peyton Barber is going to be my guy. And then on the defensive side of the ball, oh boy. Yeah, the low-hanging fruit is, of course, Quan Alexander. I don't want to go linebacker. You know, we're going to cover all three levels of the defense here. I'm going Jason Pierre-Paul. He has just been absolutely dominating so far this season. Already has 4 sacks. I think he gets at least one more against Matt Ryan. You know, the Falcons' offensive line did not look good against the Steelers, and I think that the Bucs are going to be able to generate some pressure, and Jason Pierre-Paul has been reaping the benefits of doing so. So JPP is going to be my predictive defensive player of the game. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. I think Matt Ryan's been sacked like 16 times already.
It's definitely a lot. Somebody's got to be the one to really capitalize. And so far, JPP has been the most consistent of that, for the Bucks. So, you know, I'll go with it. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Levante got a sack too. So it's going to be on you, David. Is Grimes going to get a sack?
A sack? No, I don't think Grimes.
I don't know if he's ever blitzed. Has he ever blitzed?
I would be surprised if he ever has. Yeah, that would be. I mean, if he gets a sack, it's going to be like Matt Ryan trying to run out of bounds to stop the clock late in the game, and he runs right into Brent Grimes and goes down or something. Like, yeah, that's probably the only scenario I could see him getting a sack.
All right. Well, the last thing before we move on to our voicemail question and then get out of here for the night, Scott, we need a score prediction from you.
Okay. Obviously everybody expects this to be a shootout. And even though I say every time that happens, it tends to be the unexpected, and all of a sudden it's, you know, 17-13 or something. But I gotta go with the conventional wisdom and think this is a high scoring game. I don't think the Buccaneers win a low scoring game. I don't think we're going to be able to keep Atlanta from scoring, at least in the 20s. So I'm hoping that Dave is right on the turnovers, and that is the way that we're able to suppress them enough to win 31-24.
Nice.
All right. David?
So I gave my score prediction to Gil, and he kind of freaked out at me on Twitter. So I'm going 42-41.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who's got 42?
So I'm saying the Bucks. The truth is I have no idea, right? Like, right. I don't have a clue. But I'm going with the Bucks because if it's I don't know or it's a team, it's going to be the Buccaneers, and James isn't going to let me get away with I don't know. And here's kind of like a secondary bold prediction. There's only going to be one punt in this game, and whoever punts is losing.
That's not crazy.
It's a little crazy. I'm going to look this up after. Well, I didn't bring my laptop home, but I'm going to look this up. How many games have ever had one combined punt? I don't think that's a common thing.
No, definitely not.
You might be looking at when was it? It had to have been 2007, 2008-ish. the Bengals and Browns, the highest scoring game in NFL history. There might have legitimately been no punts in that game. I think the final in that one was like 54-51 or something ridiculous.
I have no recollection of that game, and I'm shocked to hear you say that the highest scoring game ever was between the Bengals and Browns.
Yeah, it was Carson Palmer was the quarterback for the Bengals, and I want to say, I can't even remember. It might have been.
I feel like he's the only Browns quarterback that's done anything in the last, 15 years. It was short-lived, but...
The only quarterback since the Browns came back into the league, the only quarterback that they've had that has a winning record is Brian Hoyer.
So, is it 2-1?
Might be. But yeah, that might be the game that you're looking at as far as one or no combined punts. I just remember vividly watching it while I was at work, surrounded by Bengals fans, and they were screaming, "How can we not stop the Browns?" So that game is forever etched into my memory. I gave my score prediction on the Crossover Wednesday episode that I did with Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, but I'll give it again here. And I got some hate for it. I knew I would. Shout out Chris at TB Bucks for Life on Twitter.
Certainly so, by the way.
He got on me about it, but yeah. I'm 2-1 when I pick the Bucks to lose, or I'm 1-2 when I pick the Bucks to lose. And then I'm 0-1. Right. And then I'm 0-1 when I pick them to win. So I'm taking the Falcons 41-36. And again, as I told Chris on Twitter, I'll fall on this sword. I will pick against them every week as long as they keep winning. But now I'm afraid to pick them to win because they're 0-1 when I do so. So 41-36 is my predicted final. I think Julio is going to have another monster game. His numbers against the Buccaneers are just mind-boggling. So, David, I know we have a voicemail. Let's go ahead and get that voicemail question in, and then we will let Scott get on with his evening, whether he wants to watch Eli continue to try to be a quarterback or if he's going to flip on the Lightning game, however he wants to.
I got this game on, and Saquon Barkley is making some kind of ridiculous plays. I mean, the Giants are terrible, just god awful. Eli Manning's terrible. But Saquon Barkley's had two just ridiculously good plays in this game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on that last play, the last big one that he had, I'm pretty sure he juked the entire city of Philadelphia on that play.
You know, when they start showing your highlight and then showing a Barry Sanders highlight,
right,
and like comparing them, you've made it.
Yeah, you're doing something right.
Barry Sanders is my favorite running back of all time. Just who could be more fun to watch, right?
Oh, yeah. It's good to know that Scott, that you and I are both multitasking during this episode.
Well, I mean, I'm using my mouth for this, and I'm using my eyes to watch the game.
Yeah, I just have the TV in the next room turned up loud enough that I can hear the Lightning announcers. That's all I kind of have.
Trying to sleep?
No, they're not trying to sleep because they're on fall break.
Oh, so
they're
right,
downstairs playing Fortnite.
Oh yeah, that's weird
Fortnite, of course. Yes, Fortnite.
What's up, boys from Boston? Looking at the Buccaneers right now, 2-2, and in our next three games, we've got the Falcons, the Browns, and the Bengals. I think, personally, we could win all three of those games. The Falcons are kind of struggling to win. Browns, although they look a lot more electric with Baker Mayfield, I still think they're beatable. And then the Bengals, I think if you just outshoot them, even though they got Vontaze Burfict back on defense, I think you can still outgun Andy Dalton. So, with that being said, I'm pretty optimistic, but I want to know what your guys' take are in the rest of the season. Thanks.
Ooh, take on the rest of the season. That's a pretty tall order.
But he kind of defined it down to three games there.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you're the guest of honor, so I will. Okay. I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well, I already obviously gave my prediction for the Bucks to beat Atlanta, at which point they would be 3-2 with a 2-0 record in the division with two wins on the road under their belt, which would be a really nice position to be sitting in, even if Carolina and New Orleans keep winning. I do think we would beat Cleveland at home. I know they're a legitimate team now. It's not an automatic win. Their defense is very good, but I think especially if we had beaten Atlanta, the offense is going to be confident. Jameis, you know, will be confident. So I think those first two are the easiest parts of that. And then the Cincinnati game would be a tall order. But at that point, having beaten those first two games, two teams, you're going in there with a lot of confidence. I don't think 2-1 is crazy, and I think 3-0 is possible. And in either case, the Buccaneers are in a pretty good spot.
Okay.
Yeah, I look at these next three games, and James, you know, we've been talking in the Bucs Nation, you know, private chat or whatever about these next four games. So not just next three. And I keep saying 4-0, and I'm not, you know, that's not just me trying to be ridiculous. I think that the Buccaneers on paper can stack up against any of these teams, but you know, just like we've seen all year and many other teams, you don't win games on paper, obviously. So you have to see how it turns out, but the possibility to beat all up, definitely exists. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the offense can do with James Winston back, because my biggest fear, playing the Cleveland Browns, is their defense more than their offense. They do look better with Baker Mayfield, but I'm more concerned with Cleveland's defense, because I kept trying to tell people last year they had a better defense than people realize, and this year they're only proving it. So that's although the Raiders did put up a whole lot of points. That's really what I'm looking for more as far as that game is concerned. And Cincinnati, I don't know, something about Cincinnati. If they wear their white uniforms, I might be worried, but. In reality, has nothing to do with it. So,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry to tell you this, James, as an Ohio guy, but my wife has an irrational hatred of both of the Ohio teams. She just hates Cincinnati and hates Cleveland, and I think it's because of the uniforms. I think she just despises them because of their uniforms.
I have no problem with this.
like in suicide pools, if I get her into one of those.
Mm-hmm.
She will never pick either of those teams. It doesn't matter I keep telling her, like, you know, Cincinnati's actually been pretty good for a decent number of years now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. She still thinks of them as the terrible Cincinnati teams of the past, and it's the uniforms.
No, they're still terrible. I mean, their playoff win drought is nearly as old as me. And here's the thing about the Bengals. And I said this in the group chat, and I got criticized a little bit, but you know, this is a team that everybody around me follows. I follow by default just because I kind of have to. I'm not sold that they're as good as their record. They start off the season beating the Colts, who were on their third string left tackle. They had two other backup offensive linemen in. You know, they beat the Ravens on Thursday night, which is a divisional game. And we all know divisional games, really anything can happen, but they looked really good in that game. They lose to the Panthers. They beat the Falcons by 1 point, and Julio almost broke about 77 tackles at the 10-yard line to get into the end zone. So you have a depleted Falcons defense that they were able to take advantage of at the very end of the game. Then it takes a miraculous fourth quarter comeback to beat the Dolphins. I mean, they're not beating these top tier teams right now. They're beating average teams. And for me, I look at the Bengals as being an average team. So I think the Bengals game is certainly winnable. They're not as scary to me as their record. As for the Browns, I think the Browns are a fun story. I'm a huge fan of Baker Mayfield. I like him a lot.
Me too.
But you still have the question marks around some of the decisions that Hugh Jackson makes. I'm still waiting for the moment that he and Todd Haley get into a legitimate fist fight on the sideline, because I think it will happen at some point this season. So the Browns game is a very interesting one to me too. I think the Bucs can win that at home. You know, the Browns are one of those teams that you see the talent is there. You see the pieces are starting to fall in place, but they still have to learn how to finish. And I think they're going to have a little bit of problems with that. You know, that they're losing from these bad calls from the refs or whatever, but you know, you have to learn that it can't rely on the referees making one call. They have to be able to overcome that. And that's something that a young team like the Browns is learning to do. So I think the forecast for the next four games is, you know, is a positive one for the Bucs if they can start off this second quarter with a win in Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree. I think this game is maybe the most pivotal one on the whole schedule.
Yeah, 100%. So, all right. Well, Scott, I know we are up against the time, and we've chewed up plenty of your time this evening. What do you have on tap for everyone over at Buccaneers.com?
Well, I hope I think David mentioned it. I just would like people to discover our Salty Dogs podcast if they haven't already. One of the things we've been able to do is get a lot of former players on. We've asked our fans to tell us who they want, and so far we've delivered. We're 2 for 2 on Carl Williams and then Kenny Gant most recently. So keep sending those suggestions. You can saltydogs@buccaneers.nfl.com and we'll try as hard as we can to get those guys on. It's something that we can do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if there's a lot of other venues that can provide that. And if that's something you think is interesting, then tune in. I thought Kenny Gant was surprisingly candid. And when we were recording it, I wondered if it was a bit slow. And then I went back to listen to it. I'm like, man, that was kind of compelling. I don't mean me.
Yeah, I'm not really trying to toot
our own horn. I thought Kenny was kind of compelling. You never know what stories are going to come out. And I also like on Buccaneers.com every Thursday, I put up a piece called Signature Play, and it kind of gives an idea of something that the other team does really, really well. This mm-hmm. week it was Julio Jones. Julio Jones is scary, really scary. I agree. I don't remember if it was you, James, or David that said it, but he could really go off against us, and that's worrisome. And you worry about him running deep on you. I mean, he can chew up those yards on your cushion really quickly, and then you turn and run, and you're worried about him going deep, and then he's just unbelievably good at stopping on a dime. And that's how they get 20 and 25 yard gains, like almost out of nothing. It's just so easy for him. So take a look if you want on us breaking down how they do that. I think that's one of the more interesting things we do on the website every week.
All right. Well, yeah, looking forward to that. And I'll throw out my recommendation. I'd love to hear you guys get Cadillac Williams on. He's one of my all-time favorites.
Me too.
Yeah.
Have you met him?
I have not.
Okay. So Caddy's one of my all-time favorites simply for interpersonal reasons. I love the guy. Love that guy. Such a great guy. And so, like, one of the all-time greatest team players I've ever met. That's a great suggestion.
Just being able to hear the story of how hard it was for him to battle back from that patella tear, and then to have it happen to him again and battle back again, I think is would just be an absolutely phenomenally compelling story. I would love to hear that. So yeah, I'll throw that suggestion out, and you guys can do with it what you want. But I think that would be a really fun episode to hear.
I'm definitely going to try that. And the other thing about him, in addition to being an incredible team player, is he's one of these, some of these guys are athletes. No matter what they're doing, they're insanely competitive. So like right now we have a ping pong table. If he'd been here now, he'd be the guy that's trying to destroy everybody in ping pong. It didn't matter what the game was. He had to win.
He wanted to win. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and of course, you guys can check out everything that Scott is doing over at Buccaneers.com. Follow him on Twitter @ScottSBucks, and make sure that you are subscribing to the Salty Dogs podcast, because it is fantastic. That is my Sunday morning ritual. I have to work early Sunday mornings. So the first thing that I do when I get in my car to head to work to get ready for the game is I listen to the Salty Dogs. That's my go-to to get me ready for game day. So I'm looking forward to hearing the latest episode. Make sure you're checking out everything that David and I are doing over at BucksNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter @LockedOnBucks, @JArco_Bucks, and @DH82_Bucks. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, hopes, dreams, fears, send them in via voicemail at 813-444-5841. And of course, if we play your voicemail on the air, you will be entered in to win that autographed Quan Alexander jersey at the conclusion of the Buccaneers season. Scott, thank you so much for some of your time tonight. We really appreciate it. We love having you on and look forward to the next time.
It is always my pleasure. Thank you guys.
All right. And thank you all so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.
Welcome to Atlanta, hammers and bones, back to the mackin' and the clothes, adolescents packin' a A knock on the door.
Who is it?
I was happy to know the one with the flow.
Who did it?
It was me, I suppose. JD in the rolls and looters in the cut supreme. Skating down old neck, tucked and lean. I spleen. As a matter of fact, I your team. No blood on the sneaks, gotta keep it so my kicks is clean. I get the cream, cops see me flick my beans. I'm allergic to doc prescribed and a histamines. Oink, oink, pig, pig, do away with the pork. Only silverware I need is a steak knife and a fork. Did you forget your manners? I'm Bruce with banners. Ludacris, Johnny Rockets when I the cannon. The woolly mammoth saber tooth. Bite your tongue. I won't stop until I'm rich as the whites will come. I pull up in a black Lotus. Your plaques are bogus. So I stripped them off the wall. Waiting for my cue to corner pocket eight balls. You racking them up on big paper like pancakes. Stacking them up. In fact, I'm slapping them up. Cadillac is a truck. I can't lose with 22s. That's what's up. Running in the back to better than the aqueduct. Chilling in the
wood. Yo, 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 yo. Welcome to Atlanta where the players play. And we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming. And parties don't stop till 8 in the morning.